Time to go pirate hunting.
How so?
Well, we have on the line with us author Robert Kersen, who has written the book Pirate Hunters, Treasure, Obsession, and the Search for a Legendary Pirate Ship. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
This is an interesting story because you're writing a story about somebody, two guys looking for a pirate ship. Usually people are looking for treasures. Explain what...
Absolutely, Yeah, these two guys that I'm writing about actually set out to find treasure. It wasn't their intention to look for a pirate ship at all. And they dedicated 2 years of their life and their entire fortunes to finding a Spanish galleon in the Dominican Republic that was lost in the 1600s. But on the eve of their search for the treasure ship, they got a tip from a legendary treasure hunter that there was not just a pirate ship sunk nearby, but maybe the greatest pirate ship of them all. So against all their instincts and better ideas, they devoted their lives to finding the rarest thing you could ever look for in the world, a pirate ship. Only one had ever been discovered to that point. So nothing rarer or more exciting or dramatic than a pirate ship.
How do they believe this guy's tip? It sounds like, you know, just a bunch of people talking. I don't understand. How do they believe this tip that the guy gave them?
Right. Well, that's often the case when you go look for missing ships. You can't tell the tips from the reality, but... In this case, the tipster had terrific historical documentation of the pirate ship and how it sank. It actually sank in a very exciting, I'd even go as far as to say, an epic battle against the English Royal Navy. So the only question was exactly where it had sunk. There was no question that the pirate ship existed or that it had gone down in this area, a very small area of the Dominican Republic. It was just a question of exactly where. So once the guys were put onto that history, then it was up to them to go find it.
You mentioned here about the golden age of piracy. When is that? When was that? And what does it mean by golden age? Just that there was a lot or were they successful? What do you recall for that?
Yes, all of the above. If you imagine Pirates of the Caribbean, the Johnny Depp kind of pirate, the real thing, the kind of pirate that excited kids, you know, growing up in films and movies, that was the golden age, you know, peg legs and parrots on the shoulder and great daring adventures. That lasted from about 1650 to 1720. That was the real golden age, and it was right in the middle of this golden age that the pirate ship about which I write, the Golden Fleece, was sunk had actually defeated the Royal Navy in battle.
You mentioned Pirates of the Caribbean, perhaps our most recent memories of what pirates might have been like. Does Hollywood get it right? Or is that just a tall tale?
No, they don't get it right for the most part. I mean, when people picture pirates, it's almost always from Hollywood movies. And, you know, you think of things like pirates drawing treasure maps that have an X that marks the spot. But, for example, pirates never would have drawn treasure maps, nor would they have even buried their treasure. Pirates in the Golden Age were living on very, very short statistical life expectancies. They could have hanged at any time for their crimes. So they spent their money as fast as they could steal it. But other things Hollywood did get right, like they did keep parrots as pets, and they did have patches over their eyes and peg legs, almost always from terrible, vicious battles in which they would take on resistant merchant ships they were trying to steal.
Well, you know, pirates, the whole idea about them is they sort of sneak in, they get what they want, they disappear. So documentation of knowledge of them was kind of probably scarce, I suppose. And that which I guess what makes this so exciting about it, finding an actual pirate ship.
Right. The entire idea behind a pirate ship was to be invisible. It was a totally stealth operation. And so when they sank, when they disappeared, there was no government or navy that went looking for them. And even today, if you and I were to go snorkeling this afternoon somewhere warm and we stumbled across a pirate ship, we wouldn't even know it because they're almost indistinguishable from merchant ships of the time. They carried the same kind of cannons and dishware and things like that, and they didn't have their names painted on the ship or on a bell. As you said, the idea was to be invisible. So very, very difficult to find a pirate ship, even more difficult to prove which one it was.
We're talking this morning to Robert Kersen. The book is called Pirate Hunters, Treasure, Obsession, and the Search for a Legendary Pirate Ship. All right, talk to us about these two men named John. John Chatterton,
right.
John Matera.
Yeah, John Chatterton and John Matera, two very nice, ordinary guys from the East Coast who dedicated much of their lives to discovering and diving very dangerous lost shipwrecks. It came when they got this tip about the pirate ship, it seemed a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know, as we said, finding a pirate ship is about the most difficult thing you could attempt in the underwater or even in all the world. But these are very ordinary guys who viewed this as a once-in-a-lifetime chance and who thought they would never get another opportunity like this. They've been waiting their whole life for a chance like this.
And then, obviously, does it all go well for them? I mean, obviously, you have two people. Do they all have the same ideas? Are they, quote, on the same boat, so to speak?
Well, for about 10 minutes into the search, they were all together on this. But then it got difficult. The pirate ship was not where it was supposed to be. The time was ticking against them. They were working in the Dominican Republic, where rivals were descending to try to steal the ship from under them, where laws were changing, where UNESCO and the United Nations could make it impossible for them to continue at any given moment. Sometimes there was 2 or 3 hours of electricity only in the area in which they were working. Fuel was scarce. They encountered all kinds of problems. It was up to them to try to overcome those problems and also to figure out where this ship was. And to do that, they had to hit archives and libraries and rare map dealers and book dealers across the world to try to put together a picture, not just of this pirate ship, but of the great pirate captain who commanded her.
When you find something, is it all what it's supposed to be? Does everything meet their expectations? It seems like there may be like curses involved, or people suddenly get this wealth and maybe everybody wants a piece of it, including maybe the people who are in the waters where you're at. How does that all work?
Well, that's a great question. You know, there's an old saying in the treasure hunting business: treasure is trouble. And that proves to be true so often. Once you get near treasure, you don't have to discover it. You just have to be near it. Strange things happen to the human soul. In this case, things went very, very well, even through the discovery of the ship. And I hope I'm not ruining the story by saying it was discovered. It was a phenomenal find. The ship was perfectly intact through a great stroke of luck, and they found wonderful, wonderful things on board. The question then becomes, how do you divide the spoils? And in the case of diving in the Dominican Republic, the government takes half and the treasure hunters take half, but there are some interesting developments after they even pulled up the treasure ship, which I'll leave to readers who might be interested in getting the book.
How did you first become aware of this story and feel this is a story that needs to be told?
Well, I had written about John Chatterton before in my first book, Shadow Divers, which was about a story about two divers who find a lost U-boat sunk in New Jersey waters with 56 dead sailors inside. It's a really exciting story. So I had known Chatterton that way, but he had disappeared off my radar for a couple years, and I'd always wondered what's he doing now? He didn't seem easy to reach. And then one day I got a call at my home in Chicago from Chatterton. He didn't say hello. He didn't introduce himself. He just said, "If you like pirates, meet me in New Jersey." And I hadn't had a call like that before, but I did like pirates. And so I packed my stuff up, got in my car, and went to New Jersey to hear this singular narrative.
Wow, that's quite a... If you like pirates, meet me in New Jersey. You don't think about that, those two places in that kind of context together.
No.
But it puts together a great story called Pirate Hunters, Treasure, Obsession, and the Search for a Legendary Pirate Ship. Our guest today is Robert Kirsten. Thanks for sharing a bit of this story with us this morning. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much. Ahoy!